your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we're covering everything you need to know in regards to news and analysis in the National Hockey League. Today's episode being brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. I'm Rob Leano, your host for today's show. Sarah Avampato off today, so I will be taking over for today. If you're new to hearing my voice in any way, shape, or form, I am the host of Locked On Coyotes as well, if you're ever interested in hearing me blabble and babble on about how good Connor Garland is, or literally any other former Tucson Roadrunner, for example, you can go ahead and check me out over there, also on Locked On Coyotes. But today, we'll turn to the North Division, where we got ourselves a heating up matchup for that top spot in the North Division. That's with the Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens. We'll be talking with the host of those podcasts, Scott Matla of Locked On Canadiens and Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs, to get their perspectives on that fight for the first spot. Plus, we will check in with a couple of our local experts to see how their clubs are doing in the NHL. We'll begin today's show talking to one of the co-hosts of Locked On Canadiens, Scott Matla, to talk, about the Montreal Canadiens and their fight for the top in the North Division. Right now, they sit in second place right behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. All things considered, the Canadiens contending for division title this year so far has been a pleasant surprise. I expected them to be better than they were last year, but wasn't expecting them to be quite where they're at right now. It's a really fun, they're a fun team to watch right now across the board.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about those expectations, because, you know, personally for me, I watched them a little bit like last year when they went into the bubble, and then I dismissed them several times, and I'm like, this team doesn't deserve to be here. And I look at them again this year, and I'm like, are they going to be even any better? So tell me about this team, like, really, because I haven't really had probably a 100% look at this team since then. So what's been working for this team?
The team finally filled out its depth roles. For the past couple years, Thomas Tatar, Philip Deneau, and Brendan Gallagher have been one of the best lines in the NHL, and they kind of had to carry that burden a lot on their own. Coming into last year, Nick Suzuki was a rookie, and he started to come into his own, and then in the playoff bubble, he found a ton of chemistry with Jonathan Drouin, and they put the two of them together again this year with the newly acquired Josh Anderson, whose speed and power game creates the space for their two cerebral playmakers on that line, and it's giving them a real strong second line behind Philip Deneau's line. And then behind them is Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Tyler Toffoli, who have just been absolutely fantastic together. And then on their third line, they have Arturi Lehkonen, who's capable of scoring 20 goals. They have Paul Byron, who has scored 20 goals. And then they have an up-and-coming, you know, bottom six rookie in Jake Evans. They found a balance in all their forward lines. And then the defense with Ben Chiarot and Shea Weber eating up big defensive minutes, and Jeff Petrie putting together a Norris campaign with a surprisingly steady Joel Edmondson, and then the third pairing of Brett Kulak and Alexander Romanov. They found depth across the board, making them a really hard team to deal with if you can't match them across all four lines. And we've seen teams like Edmonton and especially Vancouver who, when they can't match up with that depth, they just get blown out of the water real quickly.
Tell me about the goaltending this year. Cause when I went and looked at the stats and I, you know, was totally reminded that Jake Allen was now on your team to be alongside who I know over the last decade has everyone considered the best goalie in the world, and Carey Price. How has that tandem worked for this team?
Well, Carey Price is, I believe, 4-2-1 on the year, 4-1-2, something like that on the year. And Jake Allen is 4-1-0. So it's worked out pretty well so far. Price's goals against haven't looked great, but he's had a couple of... He's had two games where it was the first game of the season where the Maple Leafs and Canadiens went blow for blow, and it was a 6-5 game. And then he had a game against the Vancouver Canucks where the officials were just calling every tic-tac penalty. And on the penalty kill, the Canadiens just kind of got shredded there. But together, Jake Allen's been outstanding as his backup. And now having an actual 1B goalie, which is becoming the standard across the league. We've seen it in Boston. We've seen it in places like Arizona and places like New York last year and other places. Having an actual goalie to spell Carey Price is a good thing in the long run because it means he can be more rested going into important games. We know Carey Price is going to want to start as many games as possible. Now he doesn't have to, and Jake Allen has been full value. Everyone points that Montreal's paying $14.5 million for two goalies, but if your two goalies are, you know, winning 8 games out of their first 10 or 11, whatever they've played, you're doing pretty well for yourself, and it allows Claude Julien lineup flexibility. He doesn't have to worry about starting his backup goalie now. He can depend on Allen. He can depend on Price, and he knows what he's getting from that in goal now. It's not a mystery like it was last year with Keith Kincaid.
Yeah, I love how you mentioned the whole 1B situation and how it applies to the rest of the NHL. And personally, I think that, you know, Montreal was definitely smart in picking up Jake Allen in that case. And St. Louis was not in getting rid of him and buying in the Jordan Binnington. But that's me going on down a rabbit hole that I don't want to go on today because, well, I love covering the West and that's gonna get me in trouble. But let's look at this North Division though. I'm trying to make sense of this North Division because I'm looking at a lot of these teams and I've watched a lot of these teams play, especially those that, you know, play more on the West because, well, that's what I can watch. What's the composition of this Scotia North Division? Is Montreal's, you know, being in second part of maybe how this North Division is, or are they really that good?
I think is the North Division is strange because when the year started and everyone was asking for predictions, just looking at the way the Canadiens were put together and the way Toronto was put together, those two were the only teams that I could really see making a run at the division title in every projection and every thought that I saw. Vancouver was flawed on defense. They're risking a lot on their goaltending, and so far it's backfired. Edmonton has two elite offensive players, but they haven't put the rest of it together. Their goaltending is not very good. Their defense is suspect and not great. Calgary is a little bit suspect on the offense in the bottom six there, but they were the only other team that I really feared. And then the Jets are not great defensively, and Ottawa is Ottawa. Montreal being where they're at is that they're beating the teams they need to so far. They've beaten Edmonton, they've beaten Vancouver, they've beaten Ottawa, and they've got Toronto this week. So that's a big test for them because Toronto beat them at the beginning of the year, but the Canadiens also went step for step with them without a team that had gelled yet. So when we see them play Toronto twice in the upcoming week, we're going to see how much each team has learned from that game. They've gone and lost winnable games. Montreal lost to Vancouver in a game. Toronto lost to Edmonton. They both lost to Ottawa somehow. It's going to be really interesting because it could either be a run-and-gun shootout or both teams are going to try and play conservative and not open up themselves to the scoring talent on each side. Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander are great pieces, but Toronto's had a lot of injuries, so their depth might not match up real well with what Montreal's got when you have someone like Tyler Toffoli playing on their third line, getting to play against whomever is left and not injured for Toronto right now. It's not totally shocking to see Montreal in this spot. I think a lot of people are realizing this team, when everything is clicking with as good as Anderson and Toffoli and the goaltending across the board has been, is that Montreal's a lot better than what the last year showed because they're finally getting that goal scoring to back up all their shot metrics and everything else.
So I'm glad you mentioned the upcoming matchup with Toronto. Obviously, that's how this North Division is going to be, the top two teams in Toronto and Montreal. You kind of mentioned how close it's going to be and what you're going to expect from the matchup. But just overall, over the course of this season, as it continues to develop, we're about 20% of the way through. How do you see those two teams stacking up as the season progresses?
I think it's going to be kind of a dogfight down to the finish. I think Toronto, if they can shore up some of the things that might be plaguing them defensively and get some depth scoring there, because obviously their star players are their star players. Tavares, Nylander, Marner, Matthews, Morgan Riley are all very good. They need someone like Alex Kerfoot to step up. Now that Wayne Simmonds is out, they need someone to kind of fill that role in there. They're getting a lot of really good performances, but not consistent outside of their big stars. If any of them falls off or if they lose anyone to injury out of that big four, they might struggle to replace that. Whereas Montreal has depth to keep rolling for right now. I do think it's going to come down to these Toronto-Montreal matchups. They're going to decide who wins this division. I just look at everyone else in here. Calgary might make a play late because they've got very good goaltending and some pretty solid defensive efforts, but it all comes down to whether or not Montreal's depth and just kind of grinding it out can negate Toronto's just elite high-end skill at in the forward group there. And all you need is sometimes a goalie to get hot for a couple of games, especially with how competitive this division is at the top right now. If Freddie Anderson or Carey Price gets hot for an extended period of time, that team's just going to rocket up the standings and can easily kind of secure their spot at the top there.
Scott, really appreciate having you on the show. Why don't you go ahead and put out how people can follow you so they can see how the Canadiens are doing this season.
Well, if you want to follow our show, we are at @LO_Canadiens on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Matla, MATLA. And then if you're interested in any of my writing, I am over at Habs Eyes on the Prize. I head up the AHL coverage there, and I usually do something every post game for that.
Awesome. Again, Scott, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Coming up on the Locked On NHL podcast, we'll be talking with Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs to get his perspective on this fight for the top spot in the Scotia North Division. But first, I'm going to talk to you guys about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might now be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website now or use your mobile device to sign up today for a free account, and you can receive 50% of a welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We come back to you on the Locked On NHL podcast. We were covering everything you need to know about the National Hockey League, but what about the rest of sports? Now a Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports you ever need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, now we continue on the Locked On NHL podcast. Once again, I'm Rob Leonio. Joining me here now is the host of Locked On Leafs, Michael DiStefano. Michael, how you doing?
Doing well, Rob. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, right before I went started recording with you, I was chatting with you about the weather. I was not complaining here in Tucson, where I live, where it was 75 degrees Fahrenheit. I cannot complain one bit.
Yeah, it's actually very rude of you to bring up weather when you're talking to someone who lives up in Canada, because you damn well know that at this time of year, the weather is not great. And early February up here in Toronto, it's certainly not sunny weather like it is down in Tucson. We had a nice blanket of snow last night, and I expect some more snow throughout the little bit. So yeah, weather here not as beautiful and sunny as it is over where you're at.
You know, as much as I love leaving a hockey rink like I did on Sunday from the Roadrunners game to that beautiful weather, I kind of want to experience a cold weather like day like that, just because, well,
you know, you don't.
It goes hand in hand. I don't think
you do. So I've done a lot of like summer hockey tournaments and stuff. So it's reminiscent when you finish summer hockey, you come out of the rink and it's blazing hot outside. And it is a lot better to be hot outside after coming out of the rink than it is to be freezing in the rink once you leave, because, you know, a rink is cold as is. And then when it's colder when you leave, that just, you double down and you start to shiver a little bit more.
I can only imagine. That luckily I won't worry about that for now. But let's talk about this Toronto Maple Leafs team. I talked with Scott Matla just in the previous segment about these top two teams. Now they're fighting for that top spot in the North Division. And you know, to me, this Leafs team was probably not really a surprise to me. I kind of expected them to be number one. But tell me about this Leafs team in general, though. Like, how have they met your expectations or not?
They've certainly met my expectations so far. They've gotten off to a great start. 9-2-1 through the first 12 games of the year, sitting atop of the rankings here in the division. They've played well. You know, a couple of guys who I think have certainly, a lot of the newcomers have, at least met, if not exceeded, expectations. And Freddie Anderson, who coming into the year was somebody who needed to be, he needed to have a bit of a rebound year, because he's somebody who's, you know, for whatever reason, Maple Leafs fans blame Freddie for a lot of this team's mistakes, which sometimes it is, because he allowed a lot of meh goals, a lot of flubs early in his Leafs tenure, the last couple of seasons, but he's locked it down. He's actually been a pretty solid goaltender. We're getting the offense we needed. And finally, though, I think that the biggest difference with this team is the fact that they're playing kind of a full 60-minute effort, and their defense is a lot better. They really they revamped their defense over the offseason, brought in TJ Brody, brought in Zach Bogosian, brought in a kid, Mikko Lehtonen, from overseas. You know, so there's a lot that kind of went into changing this team. And so far, I think that they've certainly lived up to the hype of what we thought the Maple Leafs would be this year.
I talked about this also, Scott, and maybe you can also help me out with this too, is, you know, the North Division for me is kind of hard to make out, because, you know, obviously, you know, Toronto and Montreal right now are on top. And I think that's at least from what we've seen so far, it's not really much of a surprise. But what about the rest of the division? I kind of want to know a little bit more about it. Is these two teams being on top because they're that good? Or is it really the rest of the division that's kind of separating the pack?
So it's interesting, because I think coming into the year, the overwhelming response was that Toronto was kind of the class of the division, not overly powering, but it was like, okay, Toronto probably on paper looks to be the best. And then from 2 through 6, you could jumble these up in any which way, and it wouldn't surprise me, whether it was Montreal being a team that's up here, you know, in second place, or even a team like Edmonton, Winnipeg, Calgary. All of these teams could have easily been sitting here in the number two hole at this point in the season, and I wouldn't have batted an eye. And then Ottawa was the team who everybody expected to be down last place in this division. I think they could very well be last place in the entire league when all said and done, and they have not played well at all this year either. But I think that over the course of the first 12, 13 games into the season, though, we're starting to see it's tearing up a little bit. So I think Toronto and Montreal so far this year are the two teams that have set themselves ahead of the others. Like, even when they're playing, they're dominating teams. And they're right now at the top of the leaderboard. I would say Winnipeg and probably Calgary are those next two teams that are going to compete here. If one of them, maybe Winnipeg, once Pierre-Luc Dubois gets into the lineup, I think that he's going to do good things for that team. And Connor Hellebuck hasn't played the Vezina type play that we know he's capable of because he, well, won the Vezina a year ago. You know, if he steps his game back up, I think that they're a team that can certainly jump back into the mix here with Toronto, Montreal. And then after that, I think Edmonton and Vancouver are kind of that 5-6 seed. And then obviously, like I said, Ottawa. So, I think Toronto, Montreal are, right at this point, better than the rest, but it's certainly a lot of good competition. And every night seems like it's really important to try and come away with a full 2 points.
Now I want to talk to you about the upcoming matchup. I know Toronto and Montreal are set to face each other later this week. I think a couple games, one on Wednesday, one on Saturday. What are your expectations for the upcoming upcoming series? I know they played each other at the beginning of the year, yep. But what's changed, and what do you hope to see in this next matchup?
I don't know if much has changed per se. I guess there's a couple of injuries to Toronto now. Joe Thornton not in the lineup. Wayne Simmonds, who was actually really starting to heat up, moved himself from being a fourth liner all the way up to a top six role, was playing with John Tavares and Nylander. So he's injured. It's looking like a 6-week injury for him. So that's unfortunate. So that's two guys who were in that game that are now not going to be there for injury. So they're, you know, we'll see how they end up kind of dealing with that. But in terms of, is it going to be much different? I don't think so. Montreal, despite losing the game, in my opinion, outplayed Toronto opening night. Montreal, I felt, had more chances. They controlled the game pretty good, and they've controlled a lot of the games that they've played so far this year. I've watched a lot of it, and I don't know about you, but I find that, and we were kind of talking about this before we hit record, I find myself watching a lot of divisional games this year. Like, I'm watching almost every single game in this division, so I have a pretty good understanding of what teams are playing, like how they're playing, and whether or not they actually should be earning victories. Like, for example, Calgary got a win against Montreal last weekend, but Montreal totally dominated that game. They lost 2-0, but that was just because Jacob Markstrom just stood on his head for Calgary. So, you know, even though Montreal has a couple of losses on the year, they've outplayed almost every single team in every single game. So they are a hot team this season to start. Everything's kind of going right for them. They made a lot of really solid additions this offseason, bringing in Josh Anderson, bringing in Tyler Toffoli, who's just owned the Vancouver Canucks this year. But he's going to be dangerous all season long. A guy like Jonathan Drouin's averaging almost a point per game. Finally, someone who Montreal was waiting on for the past couple of years after giving up Mikhail Sergachev to get him. So it's going to be a tough matchup for sure, but Toronto's playing extremely well themselves right now. You know, they're just, they've got a game against Vancouver on tomorrow, or tonight rather, I guess, once this gets posted. And, you know, they've absolutely beaten the hell out of Vancouver over the past couple of nights, and that they're looking like an absolutely dominant team. This offense is just moving the puck around and doing whatever they want. And if they can do that here against Montreal, I think it's going to be a good litmus test to see exactly how good Toronto is, because they haven't played, you know, a dominant team like Montreal since, I guess, the opening night of the season, where, in my opinion, they were still trying to get their legs underneath them and get the season started. So I'm happy, you know, it'll be about game 14 for these guys. It'll be a good chance to see where both these teams are at.
20% of the way through the season, or roughly thereof, where, like, how do you see, of course, these two teams really ending up? Like, there's still more games between them in the whole season long series. Who comes out on top, both within the series and within the division?
Well, I mean, I gotta go Toronto, right? Like, I have to, specifically, or I'll have to turn in my card for Locked On Leafs. But no, I legitimately do think that Toronto is the better team, despite how good Montreal looks right now. I think they're getting a lot of really good bounces, and they're just, you know, scoring on a rate that I'm not sure is sustainable the entire way. Where Toronto, they're winning games, but they're winning kind of tight games. They haven't really, like, exploded the way that we know that that offense can. They're kind of playing more of a tighter type game. And that means that a guy like Austin Matthews hasn't, he hasn't taken over many games, but for some reason, you look at the end of a score sheet, or you look at the score sheet at the end of the night, and he's got a goal. Like, this is, he scored in, I think, 6 or 7 games in a row, but he's quietly dominating games. I can't wait for when he eventually just starts to assert himself and loudly start dominating games. And when that happens, I think Toronto's going to go on a run here. The fact that they have him together paired with Mitch Marner, those two are really going to do some absolute domination within this division, which I believe will have them out on top when the season's over.
Mike, really appreciate having you on. Why don't you go ahead and let the listeners know how to find you?
Yeah, you can check myself out on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck, and also Locked On Leafs at Locked On Leafs on Twitter.
Awesome. Once again, Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs joining here on the episode. Thanks again, Mike.
Yeah, no problem.
Coming up on the show, we'll be checking in with a couple of the local experts with how their club is doing in the NHL. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is the new take on the protein bar that is absolutely great for the health-conscious guy to help you lose or maintain weight, but it doesn't have to be hard and make you taste like, make it seem like you're actually eating a protein bar, because it tastes more like a candy bar, despite them being low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. And if you're ever interested in any of the flavors, there's 18 different flavors that you can choose from Built Bar, ranging from cookies and cream to German chocolate, mint brownie. You really can't go wrong with any of these flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, and they taste absolutely delicious. Don't just take my word for it. Go ahead and try it yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your next order. Again, that's the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. With about 20% of the NHL season now completed, for most NHL teams at least, let's check in with a couple of our local experts to see how their teams are performing. Jason Hernandez of Locked On Ducks and Gil Martin of Locked On Islanders have what you might have missed from their teams this weekend.
Good evening, folks. This is JD Hernandez from Locked On Anaheim Ducks. Well, the Ducks survived a shootout against the San Jose Sharks, beating them 2-1. And it was the kids that got it done tonight, as Isaac Lundstrom got his first NHL goal tonight. Congrats to the kid. Also, it was Troy Terry and Max Comtois who got the two shootout goals, propelling Anaheim to a victory against San Jose in a shootout. Meanwhile, down in Irvine, Trevor Zegras netted 2 more points for the San Diego Gulls, as he now leads the league with 5 points in only 2 games. The Gulls are now a perfect 2-0 to start the AHL season. Find out more on this week's Locked On Anaheim Ducks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Islanders end their losing streak with a 4-3 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Some concerns here, but let's concentrate on the good stuff. 2 goals by Jordan Eberle, a good game for Michael Dal Colle, and most importantly, the Islanders showed resilience. They fell behind 3-2, gave up a goal in the last minute of the second period, but they jump back, tie it on a goal by the fourth line, and then win it on a great goal by Anders Lee. A much-needed win, and Islander fans, we can exhale. Learn more about the Islanders with me, Gil Martin, on the Locked On Islanders podcast.
Thank you to all of today's guests for joining today's show. Don't forget to go ahead and give them all a follow on social media, as well as to subscribe to their podcast across the Locked On Podcast Network. If you have yet to already, don't forget to follow this podcast on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods to get all the stuff you need in the National Hockey League and If you like what you heard today, don't forget to spread the word of this podcast. Tell your friends about how great you think this podcast is. And if you yet to already, don't forget to subscribe to us. We are available anywhere you get your podcast. Be sure to come back here tomorrow as well as all week long as we continue to have you covered on all things NHL right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.